You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. Greetings to all the tribes of Israel who are the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic peoples, our brothers and sisters around the world. And yes, we are the warriors of Yahweh's host. So it's time to stand up and start acting so. We're not wimpy. We're not going to back down. We're going to step up to the plate. The title of this message is Wisdom's Child, Part 5. And like I said, just because this is an ongoing series doesn't make this any less important than Part 1 was. As we saw last week, it was incredible as we took a look into the book of Daniel. And of course, this whole series is on the book of Proverbs, which deals with wisdom. But the reason why the book of Daniel came into play was because it's a testimony. It's a testimony of the book of Proverbs in action, in story. And these aren't just stories that are fables like the Jews tell. These are real stories that happened to our race. And we will see once again how the book of Daniel will testify to the book of Proverbs. And I'm sure many other books testify as well. It just so happens that Daniel was the perfect example. He was full of wisdom. More wisdom than Nebuchadnezzar had, much more. Daniel didn't have to be taught the lessons that Nebuchadnezzar had to be taught. Now, before I go into all that, you know I always have to discuss something. I had brought up the fact about something, and all of a sudden a person said to me the old classic saying, those are the two things we shouldn't discuss. How many times have you heard that in your life? How many times have you heard that? We can't discuss religion and politics. So I said to the person, I said, well, who taught you that? Because you didn't come up with that yourself. This is a person that's older than me, by the way. I said, who taught you that? Who gave that to you? Because you didn't get that of your own volition. Who told you that there's two things we shouldn't discuss? And why? But of course, he wasn't going to go any further than that. That was it. We're shutting it right off right there. So as we began to drive down the street, he said, I just want you to know. And I didn't mean any offense back there, because I love the Lord too, and I'm close to the Lord. The Lord. So I said to him, well, God's name is Yahweh, and the Lord means Baal. He said, see, that's why I don't want to discuss this stuff. And so he shut it off right there. Okay? You see, I believe the Jew, and of course we perpetuate it because it becomes a mind-training thing. This gentleman is very intelligent. He even has some wisdom and can show it to you. Yet he ascribes to the two things we shouldn't discuss. Of course, there's more than two things the Jews do not want us to discuss. I could name lots of things. Number one, we shouldn't discuss race either. Number two, we shouldn't discuss the Jews or their Talmud. Yes. Very crafty snakes, aren't they? But let's think about these two things we shouldn't discuss. Now, Yahweh does not like religion anyway, and he did not bring us to have religion. Religion was created by man, and most of it by the Jews. They certainly use it to manipulate. But also, politics is something Yahweh is not interested in. However, why don't the Jews want us to discuss these things? Could it be, you see, this man shut down a discussion just because I said one thing, and that was, his name is Yahweh, and Baal, Lord, means Baal. So he had to shut that right down. Okay, I'll give you the fact that these two things can cause arguments between people. But why not look on the positive side? It doesn't always create arguments, does it? It doesn't have to. We could find that we have common ground in discussing God. See, it's not just religion that we shouldn't discuss. Let us not discuss God, you see? We shouldn't be talking to each other about God. We should be more interested in money, or sex, or television, or sports. We could discuss anything, but don't discuss God, because we don't... This causes division. After all, religion has created all of the world's wars, hasn't it? Is that true, ladies and gentlemen? Of course it's not true. The Jew bankers have created these divisions and wars. But they say it's religion that did it. Well, if we should not discuss God, then we can no longer teach each other about God and discuss what we think about God. So therefore, we should just shut him right out, according to the Jew. Because there's two things we shouldn't discuss. But you see, when we discuss Yahweh, now you know that gentleman is definitely wondering, his name is Yahweh? Lord means Baal? Or maybe he's not thinking of it at all. I don't know. But you see, with just a short discussion, I injected some thoughts that he should be having. As a man who loves the Lord. Yes. And so, if the Jew does not want us to discuss race, or God, or politics, he must have a good reason for it. Because if we were to discuss race, we might find out that we love our own race. We might find reasons to love God. We might find reasons. I may tell somebody, if we discuss politics, that democracy is the vilest form of government. What are you talking about, that we should preserve democracy? What are you talking about? We shouldn't preserve democracy. It's the vilest form of government. Are you an idiot? D- democracy only leads to tyranny. I've proven that to you over and over. This is why we're force-feeding it on the rest of the world, so we can get them a central bank and a sham called democracy, which leads to tyranny. It can only lead to tyranny because of the Hegelian dialectic. You understand? I explained it to you. I'll explain it to you again. You've got two opposing forces fighting one another. Now, this goes to so many things in the world, but let's take it to the democracy. You've got the Democrats. It doesn't matter which one's the thesis. Let's say the Democrats are the thesis this time. And the Republicans are the antithesis. These two opposing forces fight one another. And in the process, there becomes a synthesis of the two. So you've got two parties and one extra party there to swing the vote in case somebody's going to, you know, they've got both sides covered. They've got it, both sides paid off. But if somebody should come along, they usually use the third party to sway the vote one way or another. But in the House of Congress, we're supposed to be the United States of America. The United States. We're not supposed to be the opposed states opposing one another. We're not supposed to be two parties that are opposing one another. And in the process, the two parties become really one party. There's no difference between the two parties at all. And at that point, it just becomes a lane right into tyranny. You see, we've got Jewish conservatives in the Republican Party. Now, you've always thought of the Republican Party as the party of the corporations. Well, that evolved that way. That's part of the dialectic. That's part of the synergy. But Republicans were for a republic, not a democracy. Republicans were conservative. They wanted to keep things in America the way they were. Great. They are no longer Democrats. They are no longer Republicans. They are tyrannists, if that's a word. Okay? Because they're all bought and sold by the central bank people, the Jews, and many of them are Jews, to ensure things will go the way that the Jew central bank wants them to. And therefore, that's why in the last 100 years, they have not obeyed the will of the American people. We did not want to go into World War I. We did not want to go into World War II. We did not want the IRS Act. We did not want the Central Bank Act. We did not want Jacob Javits to bring Negroes and everybody else into our country. We did not want to desegregate, and on and on and on it goes. Don't you ever notice that nothing really goes our way? Very little goes our way. We almost never win, and it just continues day after day, month after month, year after year. Doesn't matter which party's in, it's the same old song. That's what democracy is. No, we should not preserve democracy. So if we were to discuss that, and I was to tell you this story, you might understand it. So, therefore, the Jew says we shouldn't discuss these things. Yes, and as good slaves that love their Jew masters, you people will go along. I'm not talking to you, our audience. I'm talking to the general American public. They'll go right along with this. Because they'll make... See, the reason why it's two things is because maybe four things would have been too much to remember. So they gave him two principal things we shouldn't discuss. And that's religion, which equates to God, or which it really equates to Yahweh and truth. So we shouldn't be discussing truth. Let us not tolerate any conspiracy theories. Yet, almost every single one of these conspiracy theories have been proven to be true. Over time, haven't they? But we should not discuss those, says the Jew, George Bush Jr., right? And he is a Jew. The Bushes are Jews. Yes, they are. So there's many things the Jews do not want us to discuss. But just because they believe you are so stupid, they give you the cattle. Just remember, we don't discuss God or religion or politics, because it could turn into an argument, and it can turn into an argument. However, with somebody that's educated enough, it could also turn into the fact that they realize democracy is a farce, and that you shouldn't have to force freedom down people's throats. You don't have to bomb countries and kill all their people, destroy their land, their trees, their homes, their hopes, their desires, their lives, to make them a democratic society, do you? You shouldn't have to, should you? Because everybody wants freedom. Nobody understands where it comes from. I explained it to you because Yahweh showed me how we attain freedom. Nobody knows. They want freedom. They want liberty, but nobody knows how to get it. They just want it, naturally. So you don't have to force freedom. You don't have to bomb somebody into oblivion in order to want them to have freedom. So I'm not going to go on too long with this, because we're going to go on with the message, okay? But this is the point, is that maybe we should be discussing these two things. Maybe we should be revealing to people that there isn't a dime's difference between the two parties anymore. I often say it this way. You want me to prove to you that there has been synergy of the two parties? Rick Perry, who was Al Gore's campaign manager. Al Gore is a Democrat and a demon and addicted to blood. He was his campaign manager. But when Rick Perry ran for president, he was running on the Republican ticket. You understand? When you see a man, a Jew named Eric Cantor in the Republican Party, let me tell you something. There's no such thing as a conservative Jew. They're all liberals. They're all destroyers. They all are involved in destroying our culture and want to do nothing but change. Remember Obama's change? It's time for you to wake up to the wiles of the Jews. So next time somebody says there's two things we shouldn't discuss, maybe you should rethink that and let them know as well. Enough said. Okay, we're going to go into Daniel chapter 5 if you'd like to read along in the King James. Praise be to Yahweh, and may he reveal to us right here and right now. Belshazzar, the king. Now, this is after Nebuchadnezzar. We left off with Nebuchadnezzar finally admitted for the third time that Yahweh was the God of gods. I'm not sure what happened after that, but here we are now. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the thousand. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father, Nebuchadnezzar, had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Now you know that if you take things out of Yahweh's holy temple and you are to do something like this, you know right now that you're not using any wisdom whatsoever. This is my favorite story in the Bible. I always love this, and I always will, because of what happens soon. You know that if this man had any wisdom at all, he would have just kept those in a very safe place, and he would not have done anything to cause an abomination. This is like you might as well just spit right into Yahweh's face by doing something like this. So they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of Yahweh, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold. Now, this is double indemnity right here. They praised the gods of gold, gods little g, and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth, now pay attention, this is the good part. It's all the good part, but this is the best part. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand, and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against the other. You see, if he had wisdom, he would have thought before he acted with these vessels from Yahweh's temple. If he had had wisdom, he would have known not to do such a thing. He didn't think. And of course, he was drinking. But he's supposed to be the king. You know, he's supposed to be wiser than all the kingdom. But obviously, he's not. So now, here comes the problem. The king cried out aloud to bring in the astrologers. There's another mistake. The Chaldeans and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whosoever shall read this writing and shew me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Now, this also shows that this king has no wisdom, because he knows that his dad, Nebuchadnezzar, had already gone through this kind of a thing and found that Daniel was the wisest man in the kingdom. And he knew about these things and could interpret them because he knew Yahweh. So here he shows that he still doesn't have any wisdom, and he goes to these astrologers and soothsayers, etc. So then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled. Oh, he's worried now. See, the evil are the most fearful in the world. He was greatly troubled. His countenance changed. You see, it was like, I remember seeing this one time. We were riding on a bus as children, and one of these kids that I knew, or one of these children that I knew, friends, he was singing to a song, and he was singing some vile words to it. And he was happy as happy could be, and we were all laughing as well. And one of the mothers came down and slapped him right across the face. I'll never forget it, because it turned from the joy, the most joyous, he was full of joy and happy, and then he was just totally, his face was red, he was totally, totally put offset. He was greatly troubled, you see. His countenance changed. Yes. But anyway, so he was greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished, or astonished, I believe that means. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. Well, I don't know how good of advice that is. Because he should be troubled. You see? The queen wasn't giving him any better, you know, better advice than anybody else, except that she at least knew about Daniel. But he should be troubled. He praised the gods of silver and gold and wood and all that stuff. And he drank in the vessels that came from the temple of Yahweh. Oh, yes, he should be changed. His countenance should be changed. He should be troubled. Oh, yes. No matter what the queen says. So she says, there is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. Gods. See? And in the days of thy father. So, in other words, you would think that Nebuchadnezzar would have taught his son about Yahweh, right? It just shows you that from generation to generation, things quickly change, okay? Because he grew up, he should have known his dad, and his dad should have told him the lessons he learned so that he wouldn't make the same mistakes as he did. Obviously, Belshazzar forgot all about that. So she said, there is a man in the kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. So he didn't even know that. So how much does this guy know in the first place? For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams, and shewing of hard sentences, and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel... Now notice that too, that he named his son Belshazzar, which has that right in the name he gave for Daniel. So he looked at his son as he was supposed to be have wisdom as Belteshazzar, who is Daniel. That's how much he respected Daniel. He named his son Belshazzar. But he wasted his time because his son is a fool. Now let Daniel be called, and he will shew the interpretation. Verse 13. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, he doesn't even know Daniel. Art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah? Now listen to this. See, this is what aggravates me. And this is, remember that this is verse 13 of chapter 5 of Daniel. The last word you're going to see right here, okay? Let me give you this question now. And this is what it says. Now, before earlier in the book, and this might just be this king's ignorance too. You know what I mean? Maybe that's the answer to this. Because in the beginning of the book, they brought the wise children from Israel, from the king, from Israel. And they knew that Israel was not only the 10 tribes above, but Judah. These were the wise men of Israel. Now they were in Judah, and they were taken from Judah. They weren't called Jews, they were called Israelites. But now all of a sudden, listen what happens. This is the king speaking. Art thou that Daniel? He doesn't even know the wisest man in his kingdom. Hello. Which art of the children of the captivity of Judah? He's got it right so far. Whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? Hello, something wrong there. Daniel was not a Jew. I have to explain something to you, something you must realize, and I told you this last week. When Jews, when you saw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said they would not bow down to the fire. I mean, bow down to the golden image. And the king told them that they would, Nebuchadnezzar told them they would be thrown into the fire. And it would be even hotter than usual. They did not back down, and they went into the fire. Now, when you look at the history of the Jews, okay, that proves that they are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are Israelites. They're true, they're our people, because Jews are cowards, okay? If the Jews, if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were Jews, not only is their God gold anyway, so they'd bow down to that golden image, but let's just forget about that aspect. They certainly wouldn't lose their lives for something like that. They don't care about what Yahweh wants. They hate Yahweh. And they know that this is the only life that they'll ever live. And so they're not about to give it up for something like that. They'd rather just bow down to the image. So how do I prove that? Well, in 1492 in Spain, many of the Jews were told either you become Catholic or die. Did they say no, Yahweh would not have us do such a thing and stand up to it? And face death? No. They became Catholics and they pretended. They're called Marano Jews, which mean pig. It means pig. Marano means pig. So they pretended they were Catholic, which they do today anyway. Rush Limbaugh, John Kerry. And then we have Harry Reid, who's a Jew, who pretends he's a Mormon. But it doesn't matter because that's the first 3 degrees of Freemasonry anyway. So no, they do not stand up and say, we will obey Yahweh no matter what. They don't stand up and say, we will obey Lucifer no matter what. They'll do anything for money. They'll do anything because they know that when it comes time for eternity, they're going to be bundled up and burned. They are Esau, Edom, and Edom is in modern Jewry. They all know that they hate Yahweh. They all know that they're the children of the devil, the offspring of the devil. They're not going to tell you that. And they're certainly not going to give up their lives, their one life, for something like bowing down to some image. Okay? So therefore, you know that it's not Jewry, that Daniel is not a Jew, and that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are not Jews. So wherever this may be this king's word he wished to use, but he's proved himself to be a fool anyway. So in verse 14, I have even heard of thee. Oh, he heard of him. That the spirit of the gods is in thee. Gods. He heard of him, but he didn't remember the details. That there's only one God, and that's Yahweh. There is none beside him. So the spirit of the gods is in thee, he says to Daniel, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. Maybe he said that because the queen told him that. That's about all he knew. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me that they should read this writing and make known unto me what the interpretation thereof. But they could not shew the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck and shalt be the third ruler of the kingdom, just like with his dad, Nebuchadnezzar. Only this time, listen to what Daniel says, because this is the key to you staying clear of being bought off. Okay? Verse 17, then Daniel said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself and give thy rewards to another. Why did he say that? Because he didn't want gifts from a fool. Just as the politicians shouldn't take gifts from foolish Jews. You see, he knew that if he took the gifts, he would owe something. The Bible, the Proverbs, tells you not to be a man who loves gifts. You can see our politicians of today, they love those gifts. And with those gifts, they are bought off, bought and sold, controlled, and rolled. So does Daniel prove he's wise here? Of course he does. Is he doing what Yahweh told him to do? Yes, he is. So once again, verse 17. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known unto him the interpretation. This reading is for free there, fella. You know why it's for free? Because Yahweh wrote this message and he wanted this man to know what he was writing to him. And as you can see, his so-called wise men of Babylon could not decipher the message. But Yahweh knew that there was one in the kingdom that could decipher the message. And it was his man. O thou king, the most high God, with a capital G, gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he slew, and whom he would he kept alive. Let me read that again with a little better emphasis. Whom he would he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive, and whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. There's your principle. If you humble yourself, you shall be exalted. And if you exalt yourself, you shall be humbled. The words of Yeshua, correct? But this is also in the Proverbs. And as we remember, after pride cometh a fall. You see, when you get yourself too high-minded and think, the king had thought back then, he started speaking about how he made his kingdom for himself and for his own majesty and for his glory and for his honor. And Yahweh spoke from heaven and told him what was going to happen to him. He raised himself up and Yahweh threw him down. In the same way as the devil was told to worship the image of God, which is the Adamic race. It was Adam and Eve. And when he raised himself up and said, I'm not going to worship him. I've been around a lot longer than him. He should worship me. Now, all the angels in heaven were told to worship the image of God. See, this is how this story relates, you understand? Just in the same way Nebuchadnezzar raised himself up a golden image and told everybody to worship the golden image, and if they wouldn't, he'd kill them. Well, in the same way, Yahweh told the angels of heaven to worship his literal offspring, which were in his image. This is from the book of Adam and Eve that I read to you on an earlier Saxon's Creed show. The devil said that he would not do it, and he said himself that he was hurled. He got a third of the angels in heaven to rebel with him, and they were hurled from heaven to the earth. So after pride comes a fall. He who exalts himself shall be humbled. I'll give you a modern day example. We had a Negro boxer, whatever his name is here. That's how much I care about what his name is. I'm trying to think of him. Muhammad Ali. That's not even his real name. He's as fake as his name is. And he used to go around and saying, I am the greatest. I am the greatest. I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest. I sting like a bee. Yeah, all this kind of garbage. And now he's a mental midget with some kind of a disease. He's been knocked in the head so many times that he's been very much humbled. So it even works for those who aren't of Yahweh's kingdom. See, he's no longer the greatest. If he had shut his mouth and let everybody else say that he was the greatest, instead of him saying it himself, he probably wouldn't be in the condition he is today. As a matter of fact, if he was the greatest, why did he get so hit in the head so many times, okay? So it's a bunch of crap. However, it's an example of today. So we see this works in the spiritual realm. We see this works in the physical realm. So we know that when the devil rose himself up, he was hurled down. And when Nebuchadnezzar lifted himself up and glorified himself, he was cast down to being a beast of the field for a long time, until he learned the lesson. So he goes on. Daniel's speaking to this king. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. Oh, I swore. Yes, they fed him with grass like oxen. Now, look at the difference. He was eating the king's appointed meat. He was drinking good wine, the best of the best. Now he's eating grass with the oxen. You see how the principle works? They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God, who is Yahweh, ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. Okay? So, what people have forgotten is Yahweh's kingdom is built on this earth, and he will appoint who he wishes to, for whatever reason he wishes to appoint them. Verse 22, "And thou his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this." Daniel says he knew it. Maybe he knew it, but he forgot it, just in the same way his dad forgot it. Just in the same way as you and I could forget it. You see, what wisdom tells you in the book of Proverbs is this: if you humble yourself and remain teachable, which means humble, if you remain teachable and can always be taught, you shall have favor with both God, Yahweh, and man, because people will recognize your wisdom. If they see you always like a Pharisee trying to take the best seats in the avenues and the best of everything everywhere, they'll lose respect for you. If they see that you're willing to take a lesser seat and let somebody bring you up, they'll have more respect for you. This is wisdom. So, he says that Belshazzar knew all this, but has lifted up thyself against Yahweh of heaven. We won't use the word Lord anymore. You have lifted up yourself against Yahweh of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver, a little g, the gods of silver, the ones that can't speak, can't do anything, they don't breathe, they're not alive, the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are the way, are all thy ways. Okay, let me get that again. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, you know, it's in Yahweh's hand whether he lives or dies. Don't you recognize that? That's the same for you and I, ladies and gentlemen? That our breath, our literal life, is in Yahweh's hands, and he can extinguish it at any moment if he wishes. Do you not fear him for that alone? Does that not show his greatness to you alone? That your very breath is in his hand. Your very life is in his hand. And that's what he's saying to this king. And whose are all thy ways hast thou not glorified? So he's telling him, you haven't glorified Yahweh, the only God. You've glorified and praised gods of silver and gold and of brass, iron, and wood and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. So he goes on in verse 24. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. This is my favorite part. And I've always remembered this particular phrase. And this is the writing that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. You see, judgment is now coming upon him for his foolishness. Because he raised himself up, he shall be thrown down. The same as the devil. The same as you if you do the same kinds of things. So, mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. He said that twice now. Mene, mene, in other words, double indemnity. So he numbered the kingdom and finished it. He gave him a certain amount of time and that's it. Tekel, thou art weighted in the balances and art found wanting. You see the balances of judgment? You know the ones in America that are totally off balance in the courts of our land? You know the ones that the merchant, the Jew merchants, use two different scales? Tekel, thou art weighted in the balances, you're judged. And my judgment says that you are found wanting or lacking. For some reason it says Perez here, okay, for you farson. Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Okay, so we know, you see the division now, and we know that the head of this image that Daniel had seen or that Nebuchadnezzar had seen in the beginning was a golden head, and that there was a breast of silver and the arms were made out of silver. So he was told that that golden head was his kingdom of Babylon. That's Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, the golden head. So we see that his son, who is much more foolish than his dad is, but Yahweh had less. Also, Yahweh didn't even give him 7 years and a chance to repent, because this son is a grief to his father, as the Proverbs would say. You understand? So he just told him, it's over for you, pal. So we see that the Medes and the Persians are the breastplate and the arms of silver with the image that we saw in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Verse 29, then committed Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with a scarlet and put the chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler of the kingdom. Now, you see, Daniel was so wise about this, about not taking the gift, and yet the king threw it on him anyway, despite what he said. But he knew the reason why he said what he said, because he wanted you to know that he didn't want this gift for a reason. and you will soon see the reason. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. Pretty heavy, huh? Hard judgment. You want to play around and worship gods of gold and silver and wood and brass and stone and everything else? You want to play around with Yahweh's items that are from his holy temple? You want to deface that and defile things like that? You think that that's wise? Do you think that that's something that you might want to be involved in? I don't think so. I don't think I want to be involved in anything like that. So when Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, was slain, it says in verse 31, and Darius the Median, the Mede, took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. So he's 62 years old. That's the number 8, and it's the number for new beginnings, just in case you didn't pick up on that. Okay? I'm going to try to get to the book of Proverbs here, but this is important. So we're going to go, and we're going to go to the next chapter for a reason, because I don't want to divide this up so you'll understand. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was the first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set over him over the whole realm. Now here's a king who's got brains. Here's a king who's got wisdom. No wonder Yahweh took it away from an idiot son and gave it to Darius. We can see right away that Darius is a whole lot smarter than Nebuchadnezzar and a whole lot smarter than his idiot son. He even wants to put Daniel, a man of Yahweh, as the head of his whole kingdom. But let's find out what happens. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, as I read already, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. Now this is showing you that these other presidents and princes are unwise people. They're thinking of putting themselves higher than Daniel. They're seeking to raise themselves up. Right? Now let's watch what happens to them as the story continues. So let me read it again. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault. Same as Yeshua, right? They couldn't find anything against him. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Now, wouldn't you think that would, if they had understood the Proverbs, his being humble, his being faithful, his being wise, should have told these people that here's somebody of value. Here's somebody that deserves to be where he is. But no, 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 no. They still want to cast him down in order to get themselves up. They still want to raise themselves up and glorify themselves and take for themselves the position. Whether they found fault with him or not, instead of respecting him, instead of operating like the Proverbs does and saying, wow, this is definitely somebody that should be here, and I'm not going to mess with that. Maybe if I humble myself, he'll raise me up to a better position. No, they're not thinking properly. They're like Jews who take the best seats in the temple, who sit themselves in the best places at the feasts. You understand? See, Jews are not as wise as you may think they are. They've got you buffaloed thinking they're the smartest because they've stolen all the money in the world. But anybody that could have had a deal like the Federal Reserve has could steal all the money in the world. It's just they're that evil, and their father or their dad is that evil to think of something like that. Okay? Now, verse number 5. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Now, this was done previously, as you know, against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego with the golden image. This is nothing new, and this isn't even the Babylonian kingdom. So we see a pattern here, don't we? This went on in Rome, too. This went on in England as well. This goes on in America in politics today as well. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king. They knew, go to the top. And said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, and the princes, the counselors, and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, except of thee, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions." Now, we don't really know that these presidents had talked to the captains or counselors or any of these other people, but that's what they told the king. So they're probably lying as well. And they're doing it with flattery. King Darius, live forever. So verse 8, "Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." And their word was good, and when they signed something, it was unchangeable. It was like the Dick Act of 1902, ladies and gentlemen. You cannot alter the gun laws. You cannot write new gun laws. The Dick Act of 1902 is like one of these decrees. When they wrote something, it says, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. In other words, once it's stamped into law, it cannot be changed. And this is what they wanted to trap the king into. However, with the Dick Act of 1902, we see that that was a viable law. We see that that was a valuable law. We see that they're ignoring that law because they know they're doing something that's illegal. And everybody should be talking about the Dick Act across America. You'll never hear about it in the press, will you? Or will you? You'll never hear a congressman go up before Congress and talk about the Dick Act, will you? But you've heard me talk about it several times, and I'm going to keep bringing it up until you get it solidified. I don't care how many things Obama writes up, or decrees he writes up about changing gun laws, you cannot modify the gun laws. Because you can't alter the Dick Act of 1902, period. Not only that, but in the world itself, Yahweh gives us the right to have our own weapons to protect ourselves in a world, especially a world like we're living in today. So the right to have a weapon, every citizen has the right to have weapons. We all have rights to have guns. If that's the weapon we have of today, that's what we have a right to have. You can't tell us what kind of weapon, you can't tell us how many clips we can have or anything. You can't. Those laws are unchangeable. The Dick Act of 1902, which altereth not, period. So verse 9, I love to get that in there. Praise be to Yahweh. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before Yahweh, as he did before, aforetime. See, he's not going to change. If this was a Jew, you don't think the Jew would have been caught praying, do you? The Jew is a coward. The Jew has no faith in anything but money, his true God. So these are Israelites, not Jews. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying. You see, they set the trap for him, and they knew he was faithful, and they knew he was going to stick with Yahweh and do what he's always had done. They know what he was doing. So let's find out what happens to people that set traps for the men of Yahweh. Let's find out what happens to people that set death traps to Yahweh's offspring. Verse 12. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Now see, if they had, the proverb says, love covereth. Okay? You know, not everything you know about your brother should you go out and tell everybody. If you love your brother, you'll cover that sometimes. And maybe you pray for him that he'll give up that sin or so on and so forth. By going out and telling everybody about your brother, that shows that you don't really love your brother. Not that they were his brother, but they knew what kind of a man this man is. And obviously, they sought to destroy an innocent man. They laid a net out in order to trap this warrior of Yahweh. So then they came near and they spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree, as if they hadn't known that, that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, except thee, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into a den of lions? Then the king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Like the Dick Act of 1902. Verse 13. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not he, O king. He's not like us. We all regard you. King, live forever. That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, he's an Israelite, regardeth not thee. He doesn't listen to thee or to your decrees, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. You see, this is a wise king. He realized he had been fooled. He'd been tricked by these scumbags. You see, Nebuchadnezzar would have just been sore and decided to kill Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar didn't have the brains or the wisdom that this king had, Darius. Listen what he says, verse 14. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. Let's see what kind of a man this King Darius is. And he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. See, he put value in Daniel. He knew what kind of a man Daniel was. This man valued wisdom. This man knew that Yahweh was important. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes of Persian is, the law of the Medes and Persians is, that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. Again, I'm going to say the Dick Act of 1902. See? That cannot be changed in the same way as this decree or statute cannot be changed. Obviously, the Medes and Persians were men of their word. And when they said something, they meant it. And they made these laws this way so that no filthy, rotten Jew could come along, or Shabbos Goy race trader could come along later and change that law. Do you understand? These people had brains. Then the king commanded, verse 16, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, Yahweh, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Look how much faith this guy has. This is a king. Okay? And you know Yahweh put him in the place he's in. He understood this. Whereas Nebuchadnezzar and his idiot son, Belshazzar, had no idea. This guy knows. And he believes, just like Daniel believes, that Yahweh will deliver him from this. Because he's actually powerless to do anything about it at this point. Because he's a man of his word and they tricked him into doing this. This is just pure evil. And you can see that this man has love, wisdom, and he knows who Yahweh is. That's why he's in the position he's in. 17. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. He knew he had to do it. He was a man of his word. If he didn't do it, he'd be known as a liar, and they'd take him out and kill him. Then the king, or throw him in with Daniel. Then the king went to his palace. Let's see what kind of a man this king is. Verse 18. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. He's not even an Israelite. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. He was very concerned. He didn't want the judgment of Yahweh coming down upon him. Or Daniel, for that matter. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel, or Yahweh hath sent his angel, and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then the king was exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in Yahweh, or in his God. And the king commanded, now let's find out what happens to the evil men that want to hurt innocent men of Yahweh. Let's find out what happens. What is the judgment going to be, ladies and gentlemen? It's very sweet. Verse 24, and the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. Now that's justice. And the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. That's what happens to you when you... This is what's going to happen to all these Jews and the families of the earth that are going against the true Israelites, which are the Caucasian people. You are working against the woman. We have been a blessing to you. And instead of blessing us back, you have cursed us at every opportunity. This is what your fate will be. It will not be this exact fate, but it will be something just as bad and will result in the same thing. So just keep doing what you're doing. Keep completing your sin, black people, against the white people. Keep completing your sin, Muslim, against the white people. Keep completing your sin, Jew, against the white people, the woman of Israel. Keep completing your sin, all the rest of you that hate us so much, after we've done nothing but good to you. Because your judgment is nigh. Then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel, which is Yahweh. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. And listen now, that kingdom that was built by stone out of a mountain that was hewn with no hands, that kingdom that Nebuchadnezzar had seen in his dream that crushed the whole image there, and then it blew away in the wind as chaff. This king is this wise. He says, and his kingdom, Yahweh's kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in the heaven and in earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Now, again, if you have wisdom, if you cherish wisdom, as it says in the book of Proverbs, you shall have both favor with Yahweh and with men. Do we not see that Daniel has transcended the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar, the kingdom of Belshazzar, and also it says Darius and Cyrus? Does not the book of Proverbs say that if you have wisdom, it shall bring thee long life, and that it shall bring thee gold and silver, and favor with both God and man? Can you see the book of Proverbs telling you how true this really is in this man Daniel's life? If you can't, you better go watch football then. Maybe I can read one of the books of Proverbs. I love this one right here. This is good. Yes. So we left off in 10 last week. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 11. Let me take a sip of coffee. This has been wonderful. Praise be to Yahweh, because I asked him to, bring forth a message and reveal and help me to make it clear for those to understand, and that this message would go far and wide, and that it would help the tribes to gather. That's always in my prayer. Proverbs chapter 11. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord. Excuse me, let me stop that right there. A false balance is an abomination to Yahweh, but a just weight is his delight. Remember what happened to Belshazzar. He was weighed and he was found wanting. Right? A false balance is an abomination to Yahweh. Therefore, his kingdom was numbered and he died that very night. Because he was found wanting, do you remember? See how it all links up? See how it proves itself? Now listen. Verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. You see how that all relates to the book of Daniel? You see, is it not amazing? The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness and transgressors shall destroy them. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. We just saw that in the lion's den, did we not? The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. Did we not just see those people that wanted to slay the righteous Daniel, but they fell by their own wickedness? Do we not see the correlation here? I mean, it's amazing. Yahweh's word is amazing. Yahweh is incredible. That's all I can say. And I appreciate his word very, very much. I appreciate his counsel very, very much. Verse 6. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but the transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. Again, the same thing. When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of the unjust men perisheth. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked come in his stead. Hello! Hello! Daniel was in the den. He was delivered out of trouble, was he not? And the wicked came in his stead, those who were trying to trap him and their families. Do you understand why I'm reading the book of Daniel and putting it in together with the Proverbs? Listen again now. Verse 8. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Remember, love covereth. When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth, and when the wicked perish, there is shouting. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Think on these things. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor. You see? Do you see those people that despise Daniel? You understand? And so they tried to destroy him. Listen to this. Verse 12. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor. See, I told you those people had no brains. They had no wisdom. They despise Daniel, a very worthy man. But a man of understanding holdeth his peace. You see, if they had understood and realized how valuable Daniel was to the kingdom, they would have held their peace. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Like I said, love covereth a multitude of sins. Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. He that is a surety for a stranger shall smart for it, and he that hateth suretyship is sure. A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. The wicked work a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. As righteousness tendeth to life, so that he pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. Very heavy. They that are of a froward heart are an abomination to Yahweh, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman without which is without discretion. That's a key one right there. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. They are fearful. I'm not going to be able to finish this chapter. I'll finish it next time. I hope you're listening. I hope you're learning. And I hope that you've put a value upon wisdom. Because it is what Yahweh says it is. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James. And until next time, study to show thyself approved.